Talk Central is brought to you by CloudGate, a micro mega company. All the power of a PC, the flexibility of Android, all at a fraction of the cost. For homework or play, available at takealot.com or cloudgate.co.za for only $1,999.
I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central episode 109 for the weekend starting Friday, 29 August 2014.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central.
On Google Plus at Plus Tech Central.
And on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about digital radio in South Africa.
We also chat about Telkom's annual general meeting of shareholders and ISPs announcing home fibre pricing for Vumatel's Parkhurst project.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, but first we must pay the bills. We'll be back right now.
He's never been happier.
Yeah.
Since we got YaKlik satellite internet at the farm, he gets his grain prices faster.
Yeah.
The weather reports faster.
Yeah.
Does the banking faster.
Yeah.
And checks his team score.
Yeah.
Much faster.
Say yeah to YaKlik internet access, wherever you are. YaKlik, available from Vox Telecom and Atlantic. SMS your name to 48484 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Welcome to the show. Hi, Rafa.
How's it, Duncan?
Good. It's just a bit bloody freezing out there.
Yeah, I think it's the last nip before summer is here. So
yeah, indeed.
We'll embrace it.
The trees are starting to get their leaves back already, but came a bit earlier. Return of the blast of winter. But
I think nature's a bit confused with global warming.
For sure, for sure. But let's get straight into the news this week. Rafa, you had an interesting interview with the CEO of Sentech yesterday, in which you spoke to him about the trial for digital radio in South Africa. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, so Sentech, in partnership with the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, announced that they will be running DAB Plus trials from October. Now, it's important to note that DRM trials are already underway.
Just explain. This is for people who don't know what DAB Plus and DRM is.
So at the moment, we've got FM radio and we've got AM radio. We all know kind of it's been around for ages. We know there's some problems with the reception, quality of audio, etc.
Certainly on AM, yeah.
Yes, definitely. Now, DAB Plus is a standard that's a digital standard that's introduced to essentially replace FM, while DRM is meant to essentially replace AM. DRM stands for Digital Radio Mondiale, and DAB Plus is Digital Audio Broadcasting. That's the name for the standards. Now, essentially what this technology does is it still uses the same radio frequencies, because obviously spectrum is spectrum. Well, you can't change.
Sure. Not exactly the same spectrum. I mean, well, it doesn't interfere with FM.
It's using FM, but yeah. It's using the same type of airwaves to produce or to package data differently over those airwaves. And what Satuma was telling me was that they should be able to get about 18 radio stations for the same bandwidth or airwaves that's required for one FM station. So that's one of the benefits of this digital radio.
So more channels, more diversity of the airwaves. The challenge, I suppose, is though everyone's got an FM receiver in their car and an AM receiver for that matter. How does this take off? Everyone's got to have a DAB Plus or a DRM receiver. How easily is that going to happen?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's going to be the teething issue. I also had a chat with the NAB executive, Nadia Bulubayo, and she told me that internationally, a lot of vehicle manufacturers have already adopted the technologies into their cars. So obviously, it'll be kind of an industry initiative to be able to adopt more of these technologies or make them more readily available. We also had a look online on Amazon, and the radio receivers aren't too expensive. And I guess, like with any new technology coming out, there will be that transition phase where some people will adopt it, some early adopters.
They're not pricey. I'm certainly going to get a DAB Plus receiver. I don't know about DRM, but certainly DAB Plus. The receivers, I'd have to double check, but I think you can pick one up for a couple of hundred rand now.
Yeah, they shouldn't be too expensive. And I think if you look at some of the added benefits that you can get, I mean, broadcasters are going to love this, because you can now send additional data packets over the airwaves. to the receiver. And then that's kind of, I think, the way where the money making is going to come in. They'll be able to send graphics or maybe additional data, yeah, ads. so, yeah, I mean, look, it's certainly going to be a much better in the long run. I mean, FM is as great and as prevalent as what it is.
Yeah.
It's time for a change. We need better audio quality. I mean, especially when we look at music broadcasting. We know broadcasting in general, radio broadcasting, isn't going to die out anytime soon, even with the internet.
These existing, I mean, FM and AM aren't going to go away.
No, they're not.
This is almost an adjunct to it. I mean, the fact that there are millions of cars on the road with FM receivers, that there are millions of cell phones, and perhaps even more importantly in consumers' hands, that certainly the mass market, it's a huge, an important medium for the mass market in South Africa. In fact, you can't sell a cell phone into the mass market in this country if it doesn't have an FM receiver built into it. So it's not that FM is going to disappear. I think it's going to be with us for many decades to come.
Yeah, and Centec certainly said it's not their intention to replace FM and AM outright.
It does create increased diversity. But I think that once the trial is completed, and assuming that there's a commercial launch, which I'm sure there will be, then there needs to be some sort of push to get these, and consumer education, to get these DAB Plus receivers.
I think the vehicle industry is going to be a big driver for it. If you think of any new vehicle coming out potentially from 2016, 2017, already having a DAB Plus receiver in addition to an FM receiver, potentially.
I would hope they'd come even sooner. I mean, with the trial going live in October, I would really hope that new cars from next year would have DAB Plus receivers built into them.
I don't know about some of the new luxury cars, but I'm sure we should have cars on the road already today that would have some of those technologies built in. It's something worth looking into, but...
DAB Plus, if I recall, I did write a story on this, must have been about 6 or 8 months ago now. It hasn't been a huge success around the world. I think it's been quite successful in the UK. It hasn't been a success particularly, as far as I know, in the US. But in the US is a very different market because they're big on satellite radio. Sirius Radio, which is a subscription radio service, interestingly enough, which I think gives you an ad-free experience. So it hasn't been as big there. So it hasn't taken off in all markets, and not all markets have adopted it. So it's going to be an interesting experiment. I'm certainly going to go get a DAB Plus receiver. I'm going to probably just order one from Amazon or from one of the local online retailers if they're smart enough to stock a range of them.
Yeah.
I actually had a look on Takealot yesterday to see if there were any DAB Plus receivers on Takealot, and there weren't any. There's a market, Kim Reed, if you're listening. Maybe add some DAB Plus and DRM receivers to your catalog. But it's quite cool stuff. What I don't like about the trial is that there are going to be no new voices at this stage. It's just going to be the existing radio broadcasters. And, I mean, I've got a couple of favorite radio stations, but generally I find radio in South Africa to be pretty dreadful. I'm not the mass market audience, and I have particular tastes in music and information needs. I prefer listening to, while I do listen to local radio, particularly stations like 702, which is a great Gauteng resource. I listen to a lot of internet radio stations now through the TuneIn app on my phone.
Yeah, I do the same. I don't think you're alone in your sentiments there. South African radio certainly has been stale for a long time. I don't know if they truly understand how to address the audience in South Africa. I mean, there's some stations that are obviously very popular because they do have a demographic that they cater to. But the DAB Plus standard will certainly allow new players to come on board because the costing for broadcasting will be cheaper. They obviously haven't given any indication as to the cost or anything like that. But it'll open up the airway for more players. Spectrum will be more easily available, I guess. And the cost for new players to come on board would be better. So from that point of view, I think once the market starts... getting excited about DAP Plus when it's on our doorstep, and broadcasters have gone through the trials to understand what works and what doesn't work for them and their audiences.
Yeah.
I think that's when the traction will pick up, and we should see some of those devices hitting our shores that we can purchase.
DRM also, I don't know if you've done any specific reading, Richard, on the DRM radio technology, but it's quite interesting as well. It's more than just an AM replacement. The quality is very good. It's significantly better than AM. I haven't listened to it personally, but I understand from talking to people that you're looking at almost FM qualities, but over the sort of distances that shortwave radio currently carries.
Yes, yes.
So it's not a case of putting up a high power transmitter and getting a radius during the daytime. And I don't know if you remember listening to AM radio back in the days. Yes. We don't really have any AM radio stations in this country anymore. But I was a big fan when I was growing up in Durban of a radio station called Capital Radio 604.
Oh yes,
which was a fantastic station back in the day. It was one of the only, if not the only, alternative. Certainly in that region to the apartheid government's SABC broadcast. It had an independent news service, and it was very popular in KZN and even Gauteng at night, when you could pick up the signal. I'm not sure the technical reason for it, but AM signals always travelled further at night than they did during the daytime. It must have been the way they bounced around in the atmosphere. An engineer could probably explain that a lot better than I am. But I'm really keen to hear what sort of content I can pick up on DRM, because I think you can pick up stations from all over the world at almost FM quality.
Yeah, yeah. You'll have that argument again. You might as well just install a TuneIn Radio app.
Yeah,
but
true.
But
it's nice for us tinkerers.
exactly. If we can get increased audio quality, I think that would be a major step towards keeping consumers happy and being able to still listen to traditional broadcast radio, not using internet technologies.
Anyway, cool. Well, as soon as this trial kicks off, I'm going to be getting a DAB plus a receiver, and possibly a DRM. I don't know if you can integrate a DAB plus DRM receivers. You must be able to. I mean, like you get FM AM integrated receivers today. You can do that. They're actually some really cool. If you go and look on Amazon or one of the online big international online stores and just search on DAB or DAB Plus, you'll be amazed at the various products that are available. There's such a huge range. I'm starting at a very low cost, right up to very expensive devices that cost thousands of dollars. I'm really looking forward to this project and playing around. It's only going to be available in Gauteng, though, I must emphasize. It's going to be at the Kameel Drift transmitter site just near Pretoria, and also at the Sentech Tower in Brixton in Johannesburg. But these are going to be high power transmitters, and the signal is going to carry quite a distance.
Yeah, it should be. And again, Sentech said they're not against rolling out the pilot in other parts of the country, but they'll be listening to the broadcasters what their needs are. And I think the first phase, and their intention at least, is to get the data, the relevant data, to report back to ICASA, who will then take it further with.
So the DAB Plus trial is kicking off in October. As I understand it, the DRM trial has actually already started, but there's only one radio station on it, and that's Radio Pulpit, which I must say doesn't really interest me.
Not our demographic.
I'm sure you'll be able to pick up stations from overseas on the DRM receiver, I think. I stand to correction there, but I think you can. So we'll give some feedback on that once we've had a chance to, once the trial is launched and once we've had an opportunity to play around with the tech.
Look forward to that, yeah.
Great. Well, this week was Telkom's annual general meeting, which over the last few years has produced some fireworks. And this year, while a little more muted than previous years, was still quite interesting, particularly when questions came up from shareholders about the scandal involving the CEO and his alleged fake license plates on his car. Mm. That story was broken by The Star, if I recall correctly. It was quite an interesting meeting in that Jabo Mbuza, the chairman of Telkom, spoke in depth about both that and the controversial decision to grant early retirement to the suspended former chief financial officer, Jacques Schinderhutter. In my view, he didn't. His answers, his explanations, though long-winded, were not entirely satisfactory. I think, particularly on those two issues, he gave a very long-winded sort of explanation of this, defense of the CEO's alleged cloning of license plates. While he didn't explain what exactly had happened, he kind of defended the situation and said that it's not really a Telkom issue. But I think I certainly, and I'm sure some other shareholders would have left with still some concerns and questions around that particular issue. Also on the issue of the suspended CFO, he was suspended last year already. There was going to be a hearing, and that was set to resume recently. And there was an agreement between him and the board that he would take early retirement. he wouldn't, the chairman wouldn't answer a question, pointed question from one of the shareholders on what the what Jacques Schinderhütte was being paid to go on early retirement, which I think is a bit troubling. But that information is going to come out next year anyway in the annual report. They're required to publish that data.
Yes,
so
yes.
We'll know next year. And of course, every journalist worth their salt is going to, as soon as their annual report is published next year, is going to go straight to the page where it reveals the data about Jacques Schinderhütte's golden handshake. And it'll be the headlines at that time, probably around, I think, I forget when the annual report comes out, I think June or July. So the next year's annual report, so that'll be the first headline that comes out of it. So I don't know why they just didn't disclose it now. Perhaps Jacques Schinderhütte asked them not to.
Just to save face.
But lots of attempts at explanation, but in my view, not wholly convincing. Anyway, I guess Telkom is probably pleased that it didn't have more controversy at this year's AGM, given that some of the events that have happened in the past, particularly 2 years ago when the former communications minister, Dina Pule, got up and really caused a controversy by voting against a number of resolutions at the AGM, which ultimately led to the exit and the resignation of the CEO, Nombolelo Mohodi. And last year when the former chairman and former non-executive director Jeff Molobela, quite controversial figure on the Telkom board, presented a letter to shareholders ahead of the meeting, which also made some headlines. But I think that generally, apart from these criticisms of the AGM, I think Telkom's on the right track. I think shareholders are pleased by the performance of the share price, which hit 59.89 as the AGM was happening this week, which was a new multi-year high. Certainly the highest level it's been since they sold their shareholding in Vodacom. And it's clear that Sipho Maseko and this board are making the right moves to turn this organization around. And certainly if you talk, we spoke about this on the podcast over last week or the week before last, certainly there's evidence that they're making good progress. It's you talk to people about their experiences with Telkom customer support, and the feedback seems to have improved. They seem to be doing good work in that regard. Still some way to go, but they're making the right noises. They're talking about fiber to the home. They're talking about the future of fixed line versus mobile and why fixed line really has a role. They're de-emphasizing they're trying to rein in their investments in loss making mobile. So they are going in the right direction, and for now the government seems to be taking a hands off approach, which is the right thing to do, I think. So while there were some concerns, I think, around Schinderhütte in particular, and perhaps some residual concern about the CEO license plate scandal, I think that Telkom is pointed in the right direction, and I think shareholders perhaps were willing to overlook those issues for now.
Yeah, no, Telkom certainly not the same company it was 5-8 years ago, and it's at least they seem to be taking the internet matters seriously, and we've seen the result in the infrastructures. Infrastructure changes we've seen over the last month. Last few months.
For sure. So let's talk a bit about video on demand. Rachat, you broke a story this week about a new service called Vidi.
Yes.
We did a bit of investigation actually around this. There was an ad that appeared in this week's Sunday Times with the Vidi brand on it, sort of hinting at a new video on demand service. You did some clever investigation and uncovered that in fact it's Times Media Group, formerly Avusa, that's behind this project. Tell us a bit about what they're planning to do.
Yeah, so Vidi, it's going to be, if they launch when they say they do on the 10th of September, it'll certainly be the first company in South Africa to offer on-demand video streaming services to South Africans. The whole angle that they're going with, obviously, is it's not a satellite service, so it's all streaming on demand via the internet.
Well, no, not the first, because, of course, MultiChoice does this already.
Oh, yes.
So the incumbent does it, but it's certainly going to be the first challenger.
For sure. No, you're right. They'll be available across all platforms, and they'll have subscription services for streaming unlimited and also for rental of movies and I guess, the newer content that's available. I spoke to them, and I tried to get as much information out of them as I could.
But that was to Andrew Gill.
Andrew Gill, yeah, that's it. He did hint that they'll be talking about the content that they're going to be available, and he said we'll be very happy with the numbers that they would have available for us. So it'll certainly be interesting to see at launch what those titles are, because that could make or break a service like this. If they don't have the right content or the latest content. We've spoken about Netflix often, where Netflix is great up to a point, and once you've seen all the latest movies and all the latest TV shows, all the other things on there is just fluff, and it's not really the content that you want to pay money for every month if it's not something you can be watching all the time. So Vidi, it's all be a web-based service available on Android and iOS. They do say that the minimum internet connection speed of 2 megabits is required, which is standard, I think, for non-HD content. But it'll really be interesting to see how they implement this, what the interface is going to look like, how it works on the mobile devices. If it has things like what Netflix has, when you stop watching a program on one device, you'll be able to pick it up from the same point on another device.
Right.
You know, it's little details like that that could make it.
Of course, the most important thing is what content they have access to.
Yes.
I think you're going to have to. I think for any of these things to succeed, you're going to have the premium content, things like HBO.
And Showtime. Showtime's a big one in the States as well.
Showtime and HBO are two key American content services that I think any video on demand service. Video on demand service that's going to be successful in South Africa has to have. Of course, sports is another one, but video on demand isn't really doesn't really compete with live television.
And the nice thing about this is, unlike a multi-choice offering, you don't have to be a subscriber of any additional services. You can just go on, log on, pay your monthly service after your 30-day free trial.
When's the launch?
They said the 10th.
The 10th of September.
Yeah.
So we'll actually know in about 10 days' time what their plans are. So watch out. We'll have that story on Tech Central first. So look out for that. Parkhurst. We talk a lot about Parkhurst lately. That's because they're doing really cool stuff. Both of us went along actually last week to the launch this week. I beg your pardon. To the what do they call it? The ceremonial sod turning. The digging of the first trench for the Parkhurst Fibre to the Home project, and we went along to the Vumatel, which is the company doing it. The Vumatel store on 4th Avenue in Parkhurst, and. Where the company, or rather its first three ISP partners, announced pricing for the service, and fairly aggressive. Some of the prices are quite pricey. Some are quite cheap. Interesting mix of pricing, but I think an interesting start. And I think we're going to see these prices come down as time goes on. I was particularly interested by the packages offered by Vox Telecom. And also by CyberSmart.
Yeah, CyberSmart.
CyberSmart. I don't really know that ISP, but they've got a CyberSmart is offering an uncapped solution with 50 megabits per second for $1,299 a month. As far as I understand, that includes the line rental to Vumatel.
Mm-hmm.
Although bandwidth shaping applies to peer to peer internet traffic, it's not clear sort of how aggressive that shaping is going to be. So the package that I found particularly interesting was the one announced by Vox Telecom. They've announced three projects, products rather. The first is a basic entry level 4 meg fiber bundle, which includes the fiber line rental, which I think is actually free as part of the Vumatel project. So effectively, you're getting 100 gigabytes of what they call fat pipe data, a gigabyte of mobile data as well, which is quite cool. A Vox Superphone, which is an IP phone, and 10 gigabytes of backup storage for R449 a month, which is pretty good.
Yeah. I think, especially if you're looking at the 4 meg line, anybody who's probably got ADSL in Parkhurst would be very, probably unhappy with their current four megabit offering, and this will certainly be a good entry for them, and I can guarantee most of those people are going to upgrade to 50 or 100 megs.
Yeah. So the other packages they have is a 50 meg connection, which includes the line rental, 150 gigabytes of data, gigabyte of mobile data, super phone, and 100 gigabytes of backup storage for effectively $1,000 a month. And then their most expensive offering, which is $1,449 a month, is 100 megabit per second, 300 gigs of data, giga mobile data, super phone, and 100 gigabytes of backup storage. So it's a good start, I think. Good, reasonable prices. The third product, or the third company offering services, is a company called
Cool Ideas.
Cool Ideas. Have you ever heard of them before?
No, I haven't.
No, first time I've heard of them as well. They must be new kids on the block. They're coming to market with an interesting set of products. The first one is called Cool and offers 4 meg uncapped for $3.99 a month. Which sounds pretty compelling. There's a super cool which provides 50 megabit per second, and that comes in both uncapped and capped flavors. Capped is 100 gigabytes for $9.49 a month, and uncapped is quite pricey, $2.799 a month. I'd imagine at that price that there's no shaping.
Yeah.
And then there's Sub-Zero is their third package, and that is 100 megasecond, capped, uncapped, and capped is 200 gigs for 2,500 rand. Uncapped is a rather pricey 5,900 rand, but that is 100 megs uncapped and possibly unshaped as well.
Look, I mean, we've also discussed the whole uncapped offering, and for those prices, I mean, going, if you know what your bandwidth usage is, your household bandwidth usage, there's really no reason to go for uncapped. I mean, the first few months you might try and download the internet, and then that's when you'll need 200, 300, 400, 500 gigabytes of data. But as this kind of thing settles in and people start getting used to the speeds that they've got, yeah, I think 200 gigs would be plenty of bandwidth for most of the residents at those speeds.
For sure. I would go for the capped connection, I think. I've recently, as you know, Richard, I've moved recently from uncapped back to a capped solution, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
You get unshaped bandwidth, and the prices of capped products have come down so significantly that you can buy a huge cap that you're never going to use up at a price less than you'd pay for the uncapped data where you're subject to shaping.
Yeah, exactly. And if you can just bolt on additional data as and when is needed, I mean, your problem is solved. You always keep an eye on your data. We do. Yep. We certainly do as techies.
Sure.
And what I really liked, what Neil was telling me at the launch.
It's Neil Schumann from Vumatel.
He was saying that when users log on for the first time, they'll get a splash screen where they can choose the service provider. Most of these guys will most likely have a 30-day cancellation policy, so you can almost chop and change as you want. And as more service providers come on board, if they offer a better product offering, you can just cancel your current one, sign up for a new one, and try them out like that. I don't think there'll be much difference in the performance you'll get at those speeds. Your biggest bottleneck will probably be the server that you're pulling your data from at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's nice to be able to have a proper internet service that you can log on, choose your packages, chop and change as you want to. I think that makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, that's great. It's great. And I'm sure the bigger guys, the bigger ISPs are going to come on board with pricing soon now that these first guys have fired the gun. So I'm sure we're going to see some interesting packages and interesting options coming out around this. Interestingly, no one's offering a 1 gig option yet. I'm surprised, though. I mean, you can offer it a 1 gig capped connection at a reasonable price, I'm sure.
Yeah. I wonder what it's like on the network side. I mean, if 1 gig is really going to make a difference if you're pulling from servers that don't support those speeds, you might only get a 100 megabits a second download speed.
You'd probably be able to get a gig to certain local servers, but I'm guessing that the ISPs wouldn't be able to support your 1 gig connection to international.
The 1 gig would be really cool for when they install security cameras. I think that additional bandwidth for HD video would make a lot of sense. So maybe within a local network environment, that would within the Parkhurst environment.
And they intend to do that.
That would be interesting.
Great, excellent. Well, it's time, I think, to move on to our regular features of the week. Rechard, do you want to pick our winner this week?
Yeah, winner this week certainly is the ISPs that revealed the pricing. Those guys that had the balls to do it. Big up to you. We really think that this is the start of some impressive or interesting change we're going to be seeing in the fiber to the home space in South Africa. So yeah, the winners, the ISPs that have revealed pricing. Those are CyberSmart, Cool Ideas, Vox Telecom.
That's it, those three. So yeah, well done to those guys for having the guts basically to announce products in a vacuum. Knowing that the bigger guys are going to announce pricing later, but well done to those guys, and I'm sure they can adjust their pricing as they need to introduce new products as the market starts to become more competitive. We must emphasize this is just for Parkhurst at this stage. But Vumatel is looking to extend its fiber to the home project to up to 40 suburbs in the next phase. So it's going to be an interesting test case that is going to be applied much more broadly over the next year or two.
Yes.
Our loser this week is Telkom, for reasons we discussed earlier in the podcast, mainly the secrecy around the departure of its CFO, and we still don't know what exactly happened there. Also, some speculation about the appointment of consultants and The chairman spoke in great detail about his departure and corporate governance around it without really providing the detail of what happened, including how much the CFO is being paid as part of this golden handshake or early exit, early retirement, they're calling it, from Telkom. We'll have that disclosure next year in the annual report, but it's a pity they didn't announce it now. So for that reason, Telkom is our loser of the week. Apple product time. Rehan, yeah. What have you got this week? You've actually got something really cool.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about this. It's a new application called BitTorrent Sync. It's an app that was developed by the guys that actually developed the torrent protocol, BitTorrent Inc., which is the company behind it. And what BitTorrent Sync does is allows you to share content within a folder that you assign between various devices, and they do support all platforms from Linux, iOS, Android, Windows. I'd be surprised if there isn't a platform that they support. And essentially what it allows you to do is once you've shared the folder among the computers or the devices, a mobile device that you want, it'll keep the content of those folders synced between all those devices without using a cloud service. Now, what makes this so interesting is the fact that you don't have to pay anything for online storage. Data is shared not only via the internet if you're outside of the network, but if you're on the network, your internal network, the BitTorrent protocol will be able to share the data over your local connection. So it's obviously quicker. You don't use bandwidth for it. I think this is going to be the start of something really interesting within the storage space, or the sharing space at least. And it's already, a year and a half, maybe 18 months that they've, from the alpha stage that they've launched, and they've already done 10 million, they've already got 10 million users on the platform.
Wow.
So it's a very exciting application. It's called BitTorrent Sync. The URL is bittorrent.com/sync. And it's well worth checking out. I use it in my house to share data between my desktop machine, my study, and the computer I've got connected to my TV if I want to share music or movies to that to my home theater system.
And it does that on your LAN, not the internet?
Yes, it does it over the LAN, which is great. I mean, I don't have to be connected to the internet and I don't have to use bandwidth for it. And it's much quicker like that as well, because it uses your Wi-Fi connection. But the important thing is it really supports all platforms. And that is what I think of very few companies get right these days. They launch on either iOS or Google Android Store.
Yeah.
But they even support Windows. I mean, the Windows platform, Windows Phone,
Metro apps, yeah.
And Kindle Fire. And there's Linux.
Wow. Incredible.
And they also have partnered with some device manufacturers. I see Netgear, Seagate.
Oh, QNAP. Very clever. So it's built into the external hard drives and stuff.
Yeah, so you'll be able to have a shared folder on a external hard drive or a backup device, and it'll keep it synced.
That's very cool. So it's almost like Dropbox, but without the server.
Yeah, so it's exactly that. It's like the best cloud solution you can imagine without having storage on a server somewhere else.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm going to install it. It's a great way of sharing sharing data around the office as well.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be one of the easiest ways to get data shared between a Mac device and a Windows or Android device.
We've been talking about ages about building a server specifically for storing multimedia images in particular. Yes. This may be a way of getting around that. You simply create a folder we just create a shared folder, and whenever we create pictures, we just dump it in there, and it's automatically synced between our PCs.
Yeah, definitely. That's a very good idea. Mm-hmm. I think we should look into that,
absolutely. Great. BitTorrent Sync, go check it out. My pick this week, I actually have no idea how to pronounce this, so I'm probably just going to have to spell it. I think it's probably pronounced Taparik or something along
Taparik.
Those lines. Taparik. If you go to taparik.com, it's T for Tommy, A, P for Peter, IRIIK. That's T for Tommy, A, P for Peter, IRIIK.com. It's an interesting little app. It costs, it's not even an app, it's a service. It costs $2 a year. And what it does is if you use one of these fitness apps, like Nike Running or Runkeeper or Strava or Garmin or one of these, there's so many of them. The problem is that everyone and his dog uses a different app for their running. And you like to keep up with what your friends are doing and all that sort of thing. I personally use a Garmin watch. I've got a lot of friends who use Strava. I wanted a way of taking my runs in Garmin Connect and syncing them automatically with other services, particularly with Strava. And this app allows you to do that. You simply provide it with your credentials. It's a little open source service. When I get back into my home after a run, my watch has Wi-Fi built into it. It automatically syncs my run with Garmin Connect over my Wi-Fi. And then Taperic, every hour, it polls the various services and picks up whatever data is new and syncs the data between those services. So so as soon as it detects that there's a new run that's been stored on Garmin Connect, it picks it up and it shares it with Strava and a couple of other services that I think Nike Running I share it with as well, which is the app I used to use before I started playing around with Strava. And it's brilliant because, you know, you've got all these different services and you'd like people to know what you're doing, but some people use Nike, some people use Strava, some people use Runkeeper. This thing will just pick up your run data or your cycling data, whatever it happens to be, on whatever app you happen to use, and sync it to the other apps that you ask it to sync to.
That's nice.
And it's brilliant. It's the best $2 a year I can imagine spending.
$2 a year, that's enough.
And it just pays for the guy's basically bandwidth, and you know, he has a little bit of expense involved in bandwidth and sending this data around the internet running a server that handles it all. So $2 a year sounds fair enough to me. And it's brilliant. So go check it out if you enjoy using smartphone apps or even a GPS sports watch, and you'd like to share the data that you collect with your friends on the various running or cycling smartphone application services, then go check it out, taperiek.com. Great. I think that's almost all the time we have for the show. Just wanted to mention that this Monday, the 1st of September, is a very special day for Tech Central. We're turning 5 years old.
The big five.
Yeah, it's amazing how time has flown since this website was founded back on the 1st of September 1st of September 2009. It feels like it's just been a couple of years, but it's been quite a ride and pretty exciting. I don't think we're going to have a big party, but it's pretty cool to know that that little startup that I founded back in 2009 is going from strength to strength. And in fact, to celebrate our fifth birthday this year, we've just had August. Our August numbers show that we've had our best month on record.
Wow, nice.
By quite some margin. So we're expanding, we're growing, more and more readers are joining us, and I think it's fair to say, certainly it's the feedback we get from many people in the technology industry, that we do, and it's in our payoff line, that we do produce South Africa's best technology journalism.
Yeah, that's true, and I'm certainly happy to be a part of this. It's such an incredible platform, and I really look forward to the next 5 years and seeing what Tech Central and we can come up with.
Fantastic, Rehot. Good. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. As always, we'd love to get your feedback. You can mail us at info@techcentral.co.za. Alternatively, you can leave a comment under this entry on the website. Until next time, have a great weekend. We'll chat to you then. Cheers.
Bye. Ciao.